Financial Gym. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the introductory installment of my audio recording series. I hope that you'll listen to all of them, and that as you do, you will get some practical tips to help you on your journey of financial fitness in your business. Well, who am I, and what is a financial gym, and who do I think I am that you should listen to me? Well, I'm mother of two, wife to one, owner of two current businesses, director of quite a few past ones, and I'm now planning the third. I've worked in a number of institutions and industries, should call them institutions actually, some of them, but I've worked in a number of industries in my time. I've been a catering manager, I've done business equipment sales, and yes, I pounded the pavements collecting compliment slips from businesses so that I could go back to the office and cold call them later. But I think about it now. I've done IT sales, training and consultancy. I've done outsource management, corporate vehicle hire management, distribution and transport. But underpinning all of them has been bookkeeping and accounting. I've had the pleasure of working closely with large corporates like Merrill Lynch, UBS Services, Bankers Trust, the Bank of England, Inland Revenue, the RAF, Compaq Computers, Hewlett-Packard, to name a few. With the exception of my time in business equipment sales, all the other roles culminating in my becoming either the manager, the divisional head, or a managing director. And as thus, I was required to produce and understand financial reports and meeting targets, be they sales targets or monetary targets. Also, I've worked with many, many small independent businesses, holding their hand while they sort out the minefield that financial administration can become. Over time, the exposure to these disciplines have helped me to discover where my expertise lay, and that's in the area of systems, planning, implementing, and managing the marriage of IT with accounts and accounting procedures, but for the benefit of the end user, rather than for financial experts. I'm continually working on ways to help them get what they need without getting bogged down in the detail and the legislation. It's really not necessary to know how an engine works to be able to drive a car. Entrepreneurs like you should really be concentrating on driving and not tinkering with the nuts and bolts of your company. This in turn has allowed me to get involved in the area that truly puts fire in my belly, and that is providing support to the actual people behind these businesses. When I first worked for myself, and I would have loved to have had access to a business service or a business person, that was not so much about showing or telling me what needed to be done, but actually helped me to do it. They were hard to find. It would not only have helped me to actually implement things, but it would also have been great to have someone on the end of a telephone, or as we have now, email, who could have been an ear to listen and give advice, no matter how stupid I felt my question was. Feeling alone in business will eventually drain you. And it seemed that the big companies, who already had the resources that they needed, they had no end of support, while smaller businesses, which paradoxically make up the majority of businesses in the UK, US, Europe, etc., are faced with the choice of having to soldier on alone or pay consultants that they really can't afford, rely on accountants, and that can be potluck, or deceased organisations that we had in the UK, such as Business Link. I, like so many people, have had a roller coaster life with its many ups and downs, and despite some tough times, I've managed to get here in one piece. At a time in my life when I thought things would be slowing down, I've now got more energy than I ever had. I've got more ideas, there are more things I want to do, and the thrill of looking forward to what I'm going to do each day, even though I've never worked so hard in my life. And I've not even begun to touch the tip of the iceberg of the things that I plan to do over the next few years. After writing out what sometimes, in fact often, were traumatic and depressing situations, I now feel that with my feet safely back on the ground and working with business people, some of whom themselves have and still face difficult times, there are key things that have become apparent. One, we are rarely unique in our experiences. Whatever we're dealing with, someone has been through it before and dealt with it. Find those people and learn from them. Two, don't be afraid to admit what you don't know or to ask for help. Soldiering on alone means you'll probably be stuck where you are. Three, ask, what did I personally learn from my experience that was beneficial? And four, how can I use what I learned to help others to benefit also, while still being on the journey of helping me and mine? What the last point does is it encourages you to deal with people as allies rather than always seeing people as adversaries or competitors, even if they may be doing the same thing as you. If everything we do is to benefit only ourselves, the levels of our success will diminish. But equally, if you're always giving and not getting anything in return, you will lose faith. So there's a balance that needs to be found. Anyway, how did this become the financial gym? And how did it help me change my outlook, prospects and results? Two areas of my life were not as I wanted. My finances and my weight and fitness. Now, if I'm really honest, whether there really was a genuine connection between the two at the time is hard to say. All I know is that I just wanted to make major changes in both those areas. When I think back to my younger days, I had a stomach that you could use as a spirit level. I just had to look at a set of weights, get on the treadmill, and I would just tone up, as if by magic. And money, well, there was plenty where that came from. With a great career in a city in the IT industry to keep me in Harvey Nichols pedicures and a directorship on the side, my shopping and eating out life was paid for. It was nothing to pop off to Barcelona or Madrid for a long weekend of partying and eating out. Thought nothing of it. Then over time, and for reasons too long and complicated to go into here, I had to deal with some major changes. Now, I make it sound as if there was some great quirk of fate that happened to me. But actually, it was a realization that more than things happening to me, I was actually a victim of my own decision-making. I may not always have been at fault for the situations I was in, but I was still responsible, even if it was just for the responsibility of picking the people that were around me. And I'll go more into choosing the people in our lives later on in the audio series. It was painful, though, as a realization. A couple of things brought it home to me. One was an episode of EastEnders, of all things. And the other was a conversation with my daughter that provided a mental kick up the rear end that I really needed. What, an episode of EastEnders, I hear you ask? Well, it was quite a few years ago. And right now, I can only watch it if I'm forced to. Believe me, I can meet depressing people without trying. So why would I do it on purpose by watching a program that thrives on being depressing? But at the time, I was a regular viewer. And it was the usual standard story where you had one character who owed money to another and it had to get paid back sharpish. Otherwise, there's going to be big trouble. But the part that I struggled with was that the amount owed was about £1,000. Now, from the outset, it was depicted as an insurmountable amount of money to have to find. I couldn't get past the fact that for the sake of £1,000, this character was going to lose everything. Not have a rough time or a sticky patch, lose everything. No family members or friends were in a position to help. Apparently, unless you're in Mitchell, you're stuffed. But even more telling was they couldn't even lay their hands on a few hundred to just get them moving. You know, get the ball rolling at least. Now, while this wasn't my personal circumstances, I could see that if I continued to carry on and coast along, I suppose, in what I now recognise as a protective mode because I was afraid of risk, it was not inconceivable that this could be me. The final straw was while I was having a go at my daughter for constantly asking for things. More money, not enough pocket money, want to go out, need more clothes, need this, 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 need that, that, that. I could hear myself telling her that we couldn't afford it again. Now, I was brought up to believe that anything is possible. And here I was teaching my daughter the complete opposite. If I was to tell her no, I wanted it to be because I decided what she was asking for was inappropriate at the time. Not because I couldn't do it even if I wanted to. And I realised that the irritation in my voice as I was speaking to her stemmed more from my irritation with myself than with her. Added to the mix, my other half was in a job that actually seemed to be going well, but he himself had experienced years of uncertainty in his own career. So even though things were still stable, or had become more stable, I was still wary of not getting too used to that from past experience. Well, what actually happened was I just got mad. Anger kicked in. I had forgotten not only my goals and my dreams and my plans, but I wasn't getting any younger. I had two children who were used to not a bad life, going on holiday, and here I was saying again, not this year, when clearly everyone really needed a break and we needed to spend some time together. I told myself I wanted to see them grow up and understand how life could be if you were prepared to do what was necessary. Yet my behaviour was telling a completely different story. I seemed to be constantly at the mercy of what was happening around me. You know, my partner's working life was a more of a driving force instead of getting clear on my own. So then the old Georgette kicked in. And I had to go back and think, what was I good at? What had I done in the past that had given me the things that I had achieved before? To break it down into specifics, I was good at systems. As a tool and as a personality trait, I face problems head on, always did. And the thing is, as long as you're clear about your outcomes and you have logical steps to follow, i.e. the systems, the results are yours for the taking. I'm all for having passion and determination and desire. They're great. But unless there's a plan to back those up, then they can only be sustained for so long. Discipline is what kicks in when that plan is working for you. So even when your passion is waning a little bit, you still can push on through. And what happens is the passion at some point comes back again because you start seeing results. So I decided to follow through on the systems that had worked for me, but I looked further than that and looked for systems that had worked for other people who were doing better than me, both for building my finances back up and then also getting the body that I had before. Well, I say the body I had before, something similar. You know, I really wasn't the spring chicken I was before, so let's be realistic about it. Motivational teachers have for many years preached the need for having the carrot and the stick, or the metaphorical carrot, to dangle in front of us, layman's terms, a positive reason to drive forward. But we also benefit from the stick, i.e. the results that we fear will happen. So we need to kind of beat ourselves to some degree to move away from these fears so that they don't happen. What are my carrots and sticks? Well, my carrot is quite a lofty one. I have a dream that my children and other children, particularly those from ethnic minorities, which are not traditionally affluent, understand that they can grow up in a world where they personally can take abundance based on achievement for granted. So whatever I do in this lifetime may not be totally realized by me. I may not totally benefit from it personally. But what I want to have done is laid the foundation for my children to carry that on and thrive and benefit from it. And also there's the really important stuff, like I love Christian Dior handbags, Salvatore Ferragamo shoes. And I've got this thing about driving cars that are just too big for someone of my height to be seen in, but it doesn't seem to stop me. But what's my stick? Well, the main one is I suffer from high blood pressure. So I need to be able to manage stress to ensure that I have a longer life so I can be there for my family. My father died before he could provide for me and my sister the way he had wanted to, from high blood pressure. And this sits in the back of my mind all the time. It's a driving force. Take care of yourself. Do things right. Your children need you. And another stick I have is about standing in front of people or standing up in front of crowds when I give talks or take workshops and feeling that I don't look my best because I'm not as fit or I'm more overweight than I should be. So here I am telling a story, but I don't match my story. So people are looking at me and judging me for it. It's about my ego, but like I said, that's my stick. What are your carrots and your sticks? Are they strong enough to move you from where you are? You see, whether you're dealing with debt in your business and its impact on your private life, or it may be you want to grow your business, but the money doesn't support this. Is it due to circumstances? Because that's what we tell ourselves a lot of the time. Or is it just simply that your carrots and sticks are not sufficiently exciting or depressing enough to inspire you to get off your derriere and act? While the systems for physical fitness, losing weight, and sorting out your finances may on the surface appear very different, the processes that you have to go through to deal with them have definite parallels and commonality. To begin with, they are both marathons, they're not sprints. They require persistence and determination. And crucially, they work better with support than they do on your own. So for those of you who are yo-yo dieters and that experience serial financial boom, financial bust, financial boom and then bust, you may be saying, you know what, I've heard it all before. I've done this, I've done that, and I've still no further forward. Can I ask you to bear with me? Just humour me a little. And for those of you that are new to a lot of the principles, listen and listen again. Digest and listen again as many times as it takes for them to make sense to you. Because not everything makes sense to begin with. And some things seem more difficult than they are. And then all you need to do is go over it again. And at some point, you'll be ready to take action. What is the financial gym formula for avoiding disaster in your business finances? Well, in the next installment of this audio series, we'll begin. And we'll start with dealing with how you lay the financial foundations. Until then, be good for others and be good to yourself. Take care.